Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I was going to say good morning, but it's now the afternoon. Yeah, right. It's a terrific crowd. Really a testament to Nicholas and his team. Anyway, good afternoon. I'm Rob Lustrin, and I'm a partner in Seward & Kissel's Capital Markets Group. For those of you that are unfamiliar with Seward & Kissel, we're a New York law firm, and we focus on various financial services industries. And we have been and continue to be extremely active in the capital markets area for shipping and offshore. And we're perhaps one of the biggest areas of the firm also is our hedge funds practice. So we do have a view and we see transactions from a variety of different perspectives. We also recently celebrated our 125th anniversary as a law firm, which is a very long time for firms in the United States. And I think we've been involved probably in more capital markets transactions than just about any other firm serving the shipping industry in New York. And if you'd like to learn a little more about us, we have some brochures out in the hallway, and you could take a look at our website as well. First of all, I'd like to thank Nick Bornosis for having us here today. As usual, it's a great event and always a pleasure to be here in London. And when we were discussing the topic, I was really thinking about how to break down historic transactions that we've worked on and that have completed successfully and what we could learn about some common elements. And I thought that might make an interesting topic. And in other words, it's almost a kind of an informal regression analysis on the process of executing a transaction. I also, obviously, as a lawyer, I'm looking through a little bit of a different lens than bankers and industry personnel. So I'm really not on the front lines, so to speak, right? Which, I'm not necessarily in the room with when the commercial banks are there with our clients, and breaking down the financial analysis and structuring. So really, I'm really looking at this more from kind of a front row seat, working on transactions. And you'll be hearing a little bit later from a panel of investment bankers who are the real financial experts in structuring capital markets transactions. So my thoughts, again, are really observations as an attorney. And before we jump into the PowerPoint, one comment. We've done a fair number of capital raising transactions. I see a number of our clients in the room, and I've tried to make this again even though I'm an attorney, I've tried to make this a little more of a non-legal talk and focus on general process points. So this is a great starting point and a good time to think about the best approach to the markets. People ask me generally what's happening in our office. Are we seeing more deals coming in? And I think the answer to that is yes, just to mirror and to support the discussion, the dry bulk panel a little bit earlier, we are seeing more activity in terms of planning and trying to get positioned for what people are hopeful will be a very robust market to come. So let's see if we can get this to move. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the general state of what we're seeing in our industry. It's been a rough road. There's been an oversupply of assets in virtually all sectors, which has been unusual. I mean, most of our experience over the years, and I've been doing this for many years, is the shipping sectors have been somewhat offset and countercyclical. This is really the first, I don't know if I want to call it a recession, but a downturn, where we've seen in tandem virtually every shipping sector being off a little bit. And you heard from Dr. Stopford also that seems to support that observation. He had a nice chart there that showed virtually every sector being in a downturn. Talking about oversupply, obviously there's a scrapping story, which you've heard about too. There have been short kind of spurts of scrapping going on that we've observed. But still, I think when we speak to clients, when we speak to bankers, people are expecting, and they really think that the catalyst to the next, the next up trend in the cycle has to be some more robust scrapping, which could occur from a number of sources and reasons. could be a changing technology that renders some older vessels obsolete, or perhaps some of the new regulations that require equipment to be brought aboard the vessel might be very difficult to do or require expensive retrofitting for some of the older ships. So we'll see what happens, but I think people are hopeful that there'll be some more scrapping to help that out, obviously. Poor demand due to global economics. There's a lot of uncertainties globally, and that, of course, has affected the shipping industry. And we heard a little bit earlier, again, about Brexit, the United States election causing some uncertainty, and basically there's the general state of instability. I think that affects people's views when they're ordering, when they're thinking about doing transactions, and people may lay off a little bit, both in shipping and generally. China, we've heard, again, another factor, very large and looming factor for the dry bulk industry and for many other sectors. I think what we hear from a lot of folks is that there are the statistics on what's really happening in China are hard to come by. That's been the case for a long time and continues to be the case. And so people are having a little bit of, I think, again, they're optimistic about China and the fact that it really is one of the primary markets and is driving things. But how bad is it really, or how much is China coming out of their downturn? Hard to judge. And, of course, the collapse in oil prices since, I guess, the last couple of years has really, as we all know, has really not been a good factor. But, again, there seems to be a turn in a number of sectors, and we have seen some hope and activity. So now let's turn to the general state of the capital markets. It's been slow going in the capital markets. Deal flows at very low levels as compared to prior years and historically. Companies are still struggling to obtain financing on favorable terms. You heard the banking panel say they're not really looking, essentially, they're really not looking for new customers in a way, and our clients seem to be saying that. The banks have been extremely cooperative with them when it comes to restructuring and helping them to create the so-called runway so that they have a little more time to breathe. But we don't see the banks really jumping in with new financing projects. And that, again, that, as far as the U.S. capital markets go, the backbone of having, the commercial lending as a foundation for the capital markets deal coming on top of that is always a helpful factor. And we also, there's, quote, limited windows of opportunity. We've heard about windows opening and closing in the capital markets. That's really true. There are times when the market is more vibrant, and there are times when it's very hard to get a deal done. And in terms of shipping, that's true, too. It happens on all sectors. There are times when investors are looking for something like shipping, where there may be a more, in terms of the MLPs and other types of things where there's a more stable return. And maybe there are times where people are actually looking to buy, to engage in asset play to a limited extent. We've seen a reemergence of some unique structures because now what happens in the capital markets, when things are a little slow, people look to more novel products, see if they can get those deals done. The first half of this year, there were more SPACs, special purpose acquisition companies. For those that are not familiar with that, that's where a management team raises a pot of money as a blind pool to spend on yet unidentified assets. And they have a certain amount of time to find a transaction, whether it be an acquisition of an existing company or a merger or the like. And these structures have reemerged very strongly in the U.S. capital markets generally. The first half of the year, I think there were more done than maybe in the past 5 years prior to that, something like that is what we've heard. And that can give you up to a two-year look. So the way these deals work is people raise the money. They have a couple of years to find an opportunity to spend it. And, that has been something that people have been interested in. Strongest sectors in the U.S. capital markets continue to be, and I just kind of Googled this before I put this together, technology and real estate in the United States. Transportation is not on that list. So again, you know, most of the deals, if you take a look, I would say the lion's share of the deals done in the U.S. capital markets are, again, technology deals, big pharma, biotechnology, things related to computers and the internet, and real estate investment trusts. There seems to be a resurgence of that essentially over the last several months. So that's been very helpful to the U.S. market overall. You know, shipping isn't necessarily on that list. There's been some secondary and follow-on equity offerings, which is good. That's been pretty strong. And this is not just in shipping, but in all distressed industries. Commercial banks are really trying to force their customers to take on new equity. For those of you who deal with your commercial banks that are owners here, I'm sure you felt that pressure. The bankers here, I'm sure, understand that this is the case, and they're really trying to get more equity in there. I haven't seen a single restructuring that we've worked on where there isn't some covenant to take on more equity capital in a relatively short time frame. So, you know, that pressure is there. So can deals get done in the U.S. capital markets? Generally, yes. Deals can get done, but at a price. There is always a price in the market, and valuations and pricing may not be adequate, you know, and I think that's what we're finding. So, you know, what can be done now? We've heard a lot about 2017. The market will open up in 2017, maybe the second half of 17. But what can be done now? And that's what we were really trying to focus on. And what processes can you put in place as an owner or as someone looking to raise capital to position yourself to have a successful transaction when you're ready to hit the market? So U.S. capital markets opportunities, again, we talked about windows opening and closing and whether or not the window is, quote, open. We have a great investment bankers panel coming up, and they will be discussing that, I'm sure. But again, my observation is that windows are always open. It's just a matter of price. And the price may not be adequate for a small company that's poorly capitalized. You might get some better pricing, you know, if you're a better, bigger company that investors tend to regard a little bit more highly. Industries and sectors come in and out of favor constantly. For example, the dry bulk sector now seems to be, you know, gaining back a little bit. There's been a couple of deals done. You heard, you know, representatives of some of the biggest dry bulk companies say that they have been able to raise equity, Golden Ocean, Star Bulk, et cetera. Again, capital markets deals can get done at a price. And U.S. institutions and hedge funds, believe it or not, continue to be flush with cash. Institutions and investment management firms are constantly raising money. They have money to spend. They're just being very discriminating about where they're spending it these days. There are discrete times also when demand for capital market securities soar. That is when a lot of this money sitting on the sidelines, is sought to be deployed within the capital markets as opposed to maybe the debt markets or some private equity markets. So we have these open windows. We have, demand, like everything else, it goes up and down. And the idea is to be prepared to take advantage of those opportunities and those times when they come up. So one of the things I mentioned was the sectors come in and out of favor. And the question is your company in a sector that is marketable today in the U.S. capital markets? And I just Googled to see, you know, I just took a look at transportation, what kind of deals were getting done, last week and week and a half ago, whatever it was. And there were two sectors that really stood out. Tankers are still raising money. There are tanker offerings in the news. September 29th, Ship Finance International announced a convertible note transaction. And a few days before that, Nordic American Tankers announced a straight common stock offering of pretty notable size, 11 million shares, which was pretty good. In the LNG sector, there were a couple of recent transactions. TK announced a preferred stock transaction. and Gaslog announced a follow-on public offering of common units. So you see these sectors have been relatively active. And again, you heard about the dry bulk successes in the recent time frame. So how can we organize efficiently a capital markets transaction? There's a lot of people have to get involved and have to be organized. You, of course, have the company. You may have selling security holders, and this means the private equity firms that are looking to exit oftentimes will want to sell stock alongside the company doing a capital raise and try to either, you know, slim down their position or get out completely. You have to choose your investment bankers, your underwriters in a public offering, or if it's a private transaction or no-deal, perhaps a placement agency structure. If it's going to be listed in the U.S., you have your staff of the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ or whatever exchange it is that you're listing on. Your existing lenders and counterparties will play a role because you have agreements with them, and they will, A, want to know what's going on from a financial point of view, and also there may be covenants that you have entered into that need to be dealt with in conducting an offering. And then you have essentially a bunch of folks over here that may be non-commercial in nature but are really important in getting that deal done. Lawyers, the auditors who play a primary role in the disclosure surrounding your transaction, other experts such as industry experts. I know that we've heard from representatives of some industry experts today, and that's very important too in terms of supporting the story and the disclosure. And then you have these other folks that get involved in a transaction that may sound mundane, but you really need to line them up to be efficient. Transfer agent, registrar if you're in a debt transaction, rating agencies, start working on them if you're doing a debt transaction early on. And of course, for the U.S., we're still using financial printers and putting printing prospectuses and getting the filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission together. So there's a lot of administrative aspects of doing a transaction as well as commercial aspects, all of which it is probably prudent to pay attention to as you're moving along. So now we kind of boil it down. What are the keys to conducting a successful transaction? One, confer with your investment bankers and advisors early in the process and choose the right deal. First of all, choose the right people, right? So depending upon what you want to do in your size and structure, you really want to choose a firm that is really best positioned to help you. Whether you want to do an institutional deal versus a retail deal may dictate what type of firm you'd like to choose. And conferring with your bankers early is very important to understand the state of the markets, the state of supply and demand for the products that you may be offering. And again, choosing the right deal is important too. There are many different structures that can be tapped. As you've seen, I mentioned a couple. There are preferred stock deals that are coming out, converts, straight equity, debt, or MLPs from time to time are doing follow-on. So choosing the right structure is very important. And choosing the right team, again, is very important. And that's easier said than done. A lot of clients tell us anecdotally they've called on investment bankers and, white shoe firms, and many times it's hard for them to get their ear. If they're a little bit too small or if they don't have, this type of story that is easily saleable in the market. So it really is important to try to, find the right fit. Lay out a strategy for the process. Make sure you understand the steps and lay it out so that you can effectively go through it. And identify roadblocks to execution. That's the last bullet here, but probably the most important. We come up with all these issues when we start a transaction. The auditors are subject to regulatory requirements that sometimes cause them to prolong the intake process for a new client or new transaction. There also may be letters issuing a comfort letter. What will happen is the underwriters in the transaction require the auditors to say that all the calculations are correct to buttress the fact that the disclosure in the prospectus is correct. And sometimes there's issues that come up with issuing those things. Necessary approvals and consent from third parties is, again, very important. You may have bankers that have covenants in your loan documents that need to be dealt with. You may need an approval from your commercial bank to do your capital markets deal. Setting up bank accounts and brokerage accounts can be harrowing in today's times, and I've clients tell us every day with the new anti-terrorism regulations, anti-money laundering regulations, very hard to get a bank account open. So these are all things that need to be done early on, again, in the process. Affecting internal reorganizations to create silos and to maybe try to take assets and put them in a clean vehicle so that you don't have some of the dirty balance sheet issues can help. And also, if you need to divest or deconsolidate in order to, again, create that nice clean vehicle to come out with, that, again, is helpful. So what are some observed elements of successful transactions? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through these, and I know we're a little short on time, so we'll go through these a little quickly. We're told time and again that size does, in fact, matter. You heard it on the dry bulk sector. The biggest companies are the ones that are successfully tapping the market. For whatever reason it is, and maybe the investment bankers can help us with that, investors seem to be more attracted to larger enterprises. And maybe that's because they feel they have more staying power. And large and more prominent investment banking firms also, you know, having their name on the cover of your prospectus also is helpful in selling the deal. Using the strength of precedent to make the selling effort easier. If you can find deals that were done before with the same elements, it's always an easier sell to show investors and show them that things have been done before and they're not investing in something new or novel and taking inordinate risk. Mastery of accounting rules. You want to make sure you get the accountants in the process early as to troubleshoot any problems. And again, the bottom, it may be the most important, demonstrating transparency and good corporate governance. The investors in the U.S. capital markets are really looking at these issues very closely and under a microscope. Independence, powerful audit committees, having an unbiased nomination and compensation committee, and avoiding conflicts of interest. These are in commercial arrangements. These are things that investors ask about and look at. And some other points here. And, you know, good public relations is very important, having someone like Capital Link to help you, with your press releases. Again, not easy to do, and there are experts there that can help you do it, and keeping messaging, you know, on point and consistent. Making the most from dialogue with key investors. You want to make sure that you have the backing of if you have private equity people behind you, get some help and keeping the dialogue with your investors positive. Avoiding gymnastics with metrics, right? A lot of times clients will come to us and try to manipulate the numbers to say, hey, look how great we are. We have this terrific metric. But you need to provide a rational comparison to the peers, to make it easier. And also, you know, trying a little bit too hard to come up with something creative to make yourself look better may, in fact, investors may take that as a sign of weakness rather than strength. So we want to be careful about doing that. And again, fostering frequent communications among team members. As you go through the process, you want to make sure that there's an open dialogue between the parties. People know what's going on. And leading the transaction, and that's really the owner's, part here, keeping everyone on point and on schedule. So just quickly, I'm going to conclude with this. Make and keeping goals very important in successful transactions. Knowing long-term strategies and your needs and negotiating terms and covenants that you can live with over the long term, again, is very important. A lot of people are finding out now that they were a little bit lax in negotiating their covenants when things were great, and now they have to live with them, and it's hurting their ability to raise capital in some circumstances. Encouraging cooperation with all parties in the deal rather than, viewing people as enemies and adverse to you is very important. Again, remain engaged and persistent. Identify and rectify sources of delay, and that's really the best way to do it. So to conclude, I've addressed a number of process points, I think, that make a well-executed transaction. And taking a few steps back, it's kind of clear to me that the single most important factor in imagining and coming up with the structure, completing your transaction, remains really your own force of will in getting it done. Sticking to your goals, keeping your goals, and again, it looks like we don't have too much time left, but just getting across that goal line is really the most important thing. So sometimes execution, short execution, getting it done, and reducing that execution risk is very helpful. I can tell you time and time again, clients that did deals a year ago or 2 years ago, and sometimes they were advised maybe to wait, are very happy that they did their deals a year or two ago, because who would have anticipated that things were going to get even worse? So no one has a crystal ball. There's always a price in the market at which to do a deal, so you want to be mindful of that. So again, thank you. I'm happy to take any questions if Nicholas thinks we have a few minutes. And again, thanks to the Capital Link people for having us here.